Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning, everyone. Now, the New York City Health Commissioner, Dr. Mary Bassett, on travel to the Zika zone. If you are Dominican or Puerto Rican or are anyone thinking of traveling to Miami or the affected parts of the Caribbean or Latin America anytime in the near future, you will want to hear this advice. Dr. Bassett actually asked to come on the show today to talk about this. So here is Dr. Mary Bassett. We'll nickname you Dr. Health.
I'll take it.
You like that, right? On travel to the Zika zone. Welcome back to WNYC.
Thanks very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
And so if this is a Florida and Caribbean Latin American problem, why is the New York City Health Commissioner getting involved?
Well, we've had so far as of August 26th, 531 New Yorkers who've been diagnosed with Zika. And all of them have what we call travel-associated Zika. That means that they were diagnosed after being in an area where we know that there's ongoing Zika transmission, which includes all of the Caribbean, almost all of Latin America, Central and South America, as well as, you are aware, a couple of areas in Miami. So we're seeing Zika in New York City, and we're seeing it because people are traveling. And that's why I wanted to come talk with you, because in particular, I'm very concerned about women who are pregnant or might be pregnant who are getting exposed to Zika.
And listeners, we can take a few questions Zika-related for Dr. Bassett at 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. So is the standard advice that maybe is starting to sink into people by now the advice that you would give also, which is, I guess, not to travel to a Zika-heavy region if you are pregnant or anticipate that you will get pregnant in the next couple of, years? Or if you're a male who thinks you might impregnate somebody in the foreseeable future?
Okay, that's a lot of questions
at
once. And that's a lot of people, too. So if you're pregnant, or you might be pregnant, which basically means you're sexually active and not taking any measures to keep from getting pregnant, you should not travel to an area where there's Zika. And that also includes your partners, because as everyone should know by now, Zika can be sexually transmitted. So that is advice that I really want people to understand, but we have tested over 4,000 women who are pregnant who have been in Zika areas. Every day we have 50 or 60 women whose doctors recommend testing for them, and I'm concerned that that number is just too high.
And there are really different categories of people who I think we need to take into account when we give this basic advice. You know, there's one group that's, oh, la-di-da, maybe I won't go to Miami for my next vacation. Maybe I'll go somewhere else. But then there's, of course, a lot of people who are from there and a lot of New Yorkers who have family in the Dominican Republic, in Puerto Rico, in wherever it is.
That's right.
It becomes more complicated.
It does, because people are going, they have two homes often. They consider that they're home here in the United States where they live, they're residents of our city, and also they're going home again. So these are very strong ties, and many of the people who have traveled and come back and tested positive for Zika say they've been visiting family and friends. So we really want people to understand that if you're pregnant or you might be pregnant, that there's really no reason that you should expose your baby to the risk of birth defects. So this year, you shouldn't travel. Until we know more, women who are pregnant or might be pregnant shouldn't travel where there's Zika.
I've been starting to wonder about who should get tested, especially after hearing the story recently that there's been at least one case of a woman apparently getting Zika from a man who was asymptomatic and didn't know that he had Zika.
That's right. Although he traveled to an area where there was Zika.
Right.
And we recommend that all people, whether they have symptoms or not, whether they're male or female, when they return from an area where there's Zika, they should either not have sex for 8 weeks or they should use barrier methods because Zika can be transmitted from man to woman and woman to man and man to man. We haven't documented any woman-to-woman transmission, but it's plausible. So this man should have been using condoms or not having sex. But correct, someone can be infectious if they aren't symptomatic. We are not recommending testing at this time.
Why did you say 8 weeks for abstention or protection?
Well, for men, we know that Zika can persist in semen. So this is a window of time which extends beyond any period of time when we think either partner, male or female, might be infectious.
'Cause I've heard other longer periods of time relating to some aspect of this, and I'm not even sure what it is, but I've heard things
yes.
up to 18 months, for example. What's that?
That I don't think we've documented up to 18 months. But if a man's had symptoms, we recommend that the waiting period before they resume unprotected sex be 6 months.
Ah.
So people should keep that in mind also when they travel, because if they're thinking about starting a family, having traveled to a Zika-affected area, even if you come back and have no symptoms, you should wait at least 8 weeks before starting. And, of course, if the man gets symptoms, you should wait 6 months. So that longer period is because of persistence of Zika virus in semen in men who've had symptomatic infection.
Lizette in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC with New York City Health Commissioner Dr. Mary Bassett. Hi, Lizette.
Hi, good afternoon. Good morning, excuse me. Good morning, doctor. I am calling because I am 5.5 months pregnant. I have a question about possibly obtaining the Zika virus. I know that the possibility here in New York City is relatively low. However, if I were to contract Zika, what would be the neurological effects on my baby and on my unborn child?
Okay, the first thing I want to assure you is that we have no local transmission of Zika here in New York City. Every single person who's been diagnosed with Zika in our city has travel-related Zika. So if you have not had sex with somebody who's traveled to an area where there's Zika, there's no reason for you to be tested. If you have had sex with somebody who's traveled to an area where there's Zika while you were pregnant, or you yourself have been to an area where there's Zika, we recommend that everyone be tested. You should see your doctor and talk about it. The reason we care about pregnant women is just the reason you asked, because Zika does cause birth defects, including a serious form of birth defect called microcephaly when the baby's born with an abnormally small head.
Okay, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
So don't travel where there's Zika.
And
good luck with your pregnancy.
Thank you very much. What about people, males or females, if they're in different categories, who've traveled to the Zika zone and come back but are not going to be engaged in even potentially in reproduction?
Well, people who aren't...
They might have sex,
they
but
might
not
have
for reproduction.
Sex. So this is a recommendation about unprotected sex.
I'm thinking about like older people who maybe are even beyond their childbearing years.
Okay.
They go, because there's a lot of snowbirds and stuff and people who may go to Miami and come back and then they're here and what do they do?
That's a really good question. The recommendation holds for everyone because Zika, although most people who get it are asymptomatic, it can be a mild but not very pleasant infection. So we give that recommendation to everyone, whether they're a teenager or the people we've tested positive for Zika have tested between 1 year and over 70. But of course, the main person we want to protect is the pregnant woman. So I'm less concerned about people. I want people to understand that traveling to a place where there's Zika really is a matter of concern only for people who are pregnant or might be pregnant and their partners, who also have a responsibility.
And if you do test positive, is there something that can be done in terms of a treatment or something that then reduces the risk of the worst effects of the virus on you or your fetus?
No, there is no vaccine and there is no treatment. Our strategy for Zika is prevention.
Rodrigo in Upper Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Rodrigo.
Hi, how's it going?
Thanks for calling. Yeah, we got you.
Okay. So my question is, I'm from Brazil, and I was looking, doing some research about the Zika virus, and before in Brazil, they had dengue, you know, real bad. You know, all over the country is dengue everywhere. So
dengue
they
fever.
Start to release some mosquitoes, transgenic mosquito on the environment. So those mosquitoes were supposed to kill the larva from the dengue.
The dengue mosquitoes.
Yeah, but they said it didn't come out well. So they said the problem with the Zika virus came from this other mosquito they throw in the environment. So I was wondering how you guys know about the Zika virus. And if it's, everything
sure.
True
and of course, that wouldn't change the advice in terms of the public health practices for people to protect themselves. But do we know why all of a sudden there are Zika carrying mosquitoes when people basically never heard of this before?
It's true. We had never heard of Zika before, and it's a weird virus. We have never before seen a virus that's spread by mosquitoes, spread by sex, and causes birth defects. But it's not a new virus. It was first described in 1947, and it was present in places of Africa, moved to Asia. Some people think that there were possibly some mutations that occurred as the Asian family or strain of this virus was established. Then it went to the Pacific. Then it went to Brazil. And from Brazil, we all began to hear about it. Now, so it's an old virus, but it's a virus that we didn't see the clinical effects of, so we're still learning about it. It's in the same family as dengue, but it is not the same virus as dengue.
Frank on Long Island. You're on WNYC with Dr. Bassett. Hi.
Good morning, Doc. Good morning, Brian. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
My question is, Doc, how effective do you feel this spraying is to kill the mosquitoes? And more importantly, how grave are the side effects from the spraying? I heard that in South Carolina they had a large bee die-off. And if you recall back in the 90s, the lobster die-off in the Long Island Sound was more detrimental than the inconvenience of those nasty little mosquitoes.
Right. And he said, I think his phone broke up just as he was saying there's a bee die-off, and that's been in the news the last day in some areas that may be related to anti-Zika spraying.
Well, I'm not familiar with that. What we're doing here in New York City is trying to drive down the numbers of mosquitoes that because we have a cousin mosquito to the mosquito that's driving the current outbreak in Latin America. We've never found Zika in that mosquito, and we don't have Aedes aegypti, which is the mosquito that is driving the current outbreak. We use less than a gram of insecticide per acre. We use only products that have been approved by the federal and state regulatory authorities, and we spray in a way that is mindful of notifying the public. So the spraying is safe, but I do want people to understand that it's to reduce mosquitoes. We don't have Zika here. People get Zika in New York City by traveling, and that's why it's so important to get the advice out for women who are pregnant or trying to become pregnant.
We don't have the Aedes aegypti mosquito because it can only survive in more tropical climates?
We had it here a century and a half ago.
We did.
The same vector as causes yellow fever, which we once had in New York. It was actually part of the founding of the Board of Health and the Health Department. But we haven't had it, and we've been looking carefully at mosquitoes for over 15 years as part of our West Nile virus. So we're confident that we don't have Aedes aegypti. We have another mosquito that we call the cousin mosquito, and we, for the first time this year, are directing our efforts to pushing down that mosquito. And we do it because it works. When we spray, the number of mosquitoes goes down.
Does cousin mosquito mean it has the potential to breed something that acts like an Aedes aegypti?
It's called Aedes albopictus. The short name for it, or the common name, is Asian tiger mosquito. And it has been shown to become infected with Zika. But in our setting, we don't think it's an effective vector. We don't think it will give it to other people.
Whatever happened to West Nile virus? Remember how scared everybody was of that just a few years ago? And now we barely hear about it anymore.
That's a good thing, and that's a tribute to the efforts that the health department has had in place to both warn people about standing water, warn them about the importance of using insect repellent, and also we have a robust spraying program in place, both larviciding and killing the adult flying mosquitoes.
All right, let's do one or two more. Fernando in Greenpoint. You're on WNYC. Hi, Fernando.
Hello, Brian. Thank you for taking my call. Hello, doctor. I'm calling regarding, obviously, the advice that you're giving. Thank you for that. And, you know, I agree with all the guidelines that have been, you know, spoken of. However, you know, what I really want to bring up is, you know, I take issue with the way that the Department of Health or whoever actually designate these areas in Latin America for non-traveling, like the actual warnings. When we look at Miami, you know, we started talking about, like, certain blocks of Miami, and then it moved to another block. But when it comes to Latin America, we say blanketed all Latin America, and the whole region has, obviously, this disease. If you go to high-altitude capitals like Bogota, where I'm from, or La Paz, Bolivia, Quito, they have Zika there. So, you know, it is something like that has an impact in the region because obviously, you know, traveling has impact there. Also, you know, we have all this scare about the Rio Olympics and all these athletes getting Zika. And so there was not a single case of Zika transmitted disease in Rio. So we, you know, I'm calling just to challenge that notion of how are these things designated. Maybe, I don't know how, but there's not a lot of science, you know, basically there. It's just saying, okay, the whole region has Zika and Latin America and Caribbean has to be avoided.
So...
Sure, and you make a good point. Altitude is probably the only geographic feature that dictates whether or not a place can get Zika, because at high altitudes we don't see mosquitoes. And that's why Chile is not on the list. The Andean countries are not. And that's why you're correct in saying that Bogota or other high-altitude places won't have mosquitoes. I think that we should acknowledge that the CDC in declaring places in Miami, places where pregnant women shouldn't travel. Remember, this advice is for women who are pregnant, not all of us. In New York City, we have 8.5 million people, and at any one time, 100,000 are women who are pregnant. So everybody else, you know, should go ahead and travel. Use usual protections. Be aware of the advice on sexual transmission when you come back. But it's the pregnant woman that we're concerned about. And I think that maybe people have lost track of that.
And anybody can go to Quito or Bogota if you're not going down the mountains. Thank you very much, New York City Health Commissioner Dr. Mary Bassett.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, we continue our 30 Issues election series with how to keep big money from destroying our democracy while Citizens United is still in effect. Stay with us.